Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And today we're going to take up a subject which I think is going to really revolutionize the field of herbal medicine, call it what you will, nutritional supplements. It's the cannabinoids. Cannabinoids are a derivative, of course, of marijuana, but they're also a derivative of hemp, which is legal. And cannabinoids are emerging as a potential major player in medicine, but also bestriding the world of herbal medicine, because it's not clear entirely what their legal status is, but it's clear that they have medical applications and health benefits. And so today we're going to talk to an expert. He's Dr. Cass Ingram. He's been in the field of herbal medicine for many, many decades. He's known to many of you as an advocate of oregano. He's one of the world's experts on the health healing properties of oregano. He's a nutritional physician, and he has been literally on thousands of radio and TV shows. He is one of North America's leading experts on the health benefits and disease-fighting properties of wild medicinal spice extracts. And I've known him for, well, you know, I hate to say it, possibly for three decades. He's been a regular fixture on the natural products circuit. And he's written a book entitled The Cannabis Cure. And I'm not entirely sure, Dr. Ingram, if you're saying that people should be smoking pot. I think not. I think we're actually talking about a specific herbal extract, more on the CBD side. Am I correct?
Yes. Yeah, you're talking about the extract. You know, for 100 years in this country, in the official pharmacopoeia, both U.S., Canadian, British, cannabis extract was official. It was in every doctor's black bag. You can go back to the old pharmacy journals or the old, say, antique stores or whatever, and you can see these little bottles of cannabis. And it was used for a bad case of the nerves, for glaucoma, for headache, for nervous agitation, for pain. So nobody got addicted to it. Nobody smoked it. Nobody vaped it. So we are talking about the original God-given medicine, been around for 10 centuries, cannabis as a medicine. It was used in ancient Greece. It was used by the Islamics, the Hindus, the Persians, and they use it as a drug. So, but it's been denied to us either socially or governmentally for about 100 years now. It has too much value, and it's coming back.
Right. It seems to have been stigmatized and criminalized. You know, certainly there was a campaign, many of us as high school students in our health classes were made to watch propaganda movies like Reefer Madness, which suggested that pot was the way to perdition and ruin. And in fact, you know, I got to say, personally, I have some issues with two young kids smoking marijuana. And I'm not entirely sure I want the legalization of marijuana, because it's a powerful hallucinogen. It may impair people while driving. It may ultimately impair intellectual development if you smoke too much of it at too early an age. It may bring on depression, psychosis, any number of problems. But we're not talking about smoking pot here. We're talking about medicinal use of a specific extract, right?
That's exactly right. Actually, I had a couple of musicians that dittoed. Who I could not get off the pot, and it just mucked them up. You know, 40-year veterans of smoking. Anyway, it's carbon dioxide, lung damage, and when adolescents smoke, it does cause brain damage. There's enough long-term exposure there, and so no. Marijuana has been raised to be addictive. Let's face it.
It's yeah.
Grown in a pot, right? Pot. We're talking about industrial hemp. I'm not even that big of a fan of making extracts from marijuana, because you get the THC. There are issues with that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you make it from the industrial hemp, there's no issue. It's just a medicine, just like hemp seed oil. That's where we get our hemp seed oil. That's where we get the hemp seed protein. That's where we get the hemp seeds.
So
it's just an extension of that, really.
So I think we need to clarify, you know, what are the constituents of cannabis? By the way, hemp has the name cannabis, right? Cannabis, but not cannabis
yes.
sativa. It's a slightly different
yeah,
species.
Yeah, it is cannabis sativa. Cannabis indica is the marijuana.
Okay.
Sativa actually is the industrial hemp.
Oh, okay. So we're actually, it's a misnomer when we refer to pot as cannabis sativa. It's cannabis indica. So the cannabis sativa is hemp. And so what's in it? What, I mean, it's a complex set of compounds that come out of it. And, you know, for some people, you know, we want to isolate the CBD and take out the THC and, but give us a little insight into the chemistry there.
Okay. It's a very basic thing. They're cousins. The marijuana pot plant doesn't grow very tall. Everybody knows that. You grow it indoors mostly or whatever they do. So that's a cousin to the industrial hemp, which was the one they used in medieval times up to the British Empire, even into the U.S. You know, Thomas Jefferson grew it, George Washington, all that. That's, that species, industrial hemp, both species have cannabinoids. Cannabinoids are unique in a sense to hemp or cannabis because that it has the most of them. So when you have a hemp, you have 65 different cannabinoids. But it's not the only plant with them. We're going to get into that. Now, those cannabinoids work on the endocannabinoid system. That's what that. See, the thing is, pot is like a feel-goody thing. People smoke it. They don't just smoke it just to rebel. There's something that they get temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the cannabinoids. They feed that endocannabinoid system. And so when
so,
that
so
happens,
let's talk a little bit about that because I think people are familiar with the term endorphins, which are endogenous opiates, you know, the so-called runner's high. And they also kick in sometimes when you're experiencing pain as a way of alleviating, a means of alleviating suffering. So you get, you know, there are endorphins, and that's one pathway within the brain. But there's a very complex endocannabinoid pathway that suggests that it's the lock into which the key of our own production of cannabinoids, our own internal production, but also the external application of cannabinoids may fit. And therefore, there's a lot of potential utility in manipulating this endocannabinoid pathway.
Oh, yes. See, that's a pathway that's in the brain. It's in the, there's a lot of it in the spinal cord, but also the white blood cells, the liver, the kidneys, the bone itself, the bone marrow. So there's receptors there. And when they receive it, this is what you get. When they receive those cannabinoids, whether from hemp extract, people who smoke, which we don't recommend, or from other sources, believe it or not, black pepper, cinnamon, cloves, oreganos, rosemary, rich in cannabinoids, those cannabinoids go to those receptors and they improve the signaling in the brain. Now that's a big deal. If you can improve the balance in the brain through dietary substances and how the neurons get their signals back and forth, then you can modulate pain, you can modulate neurological conditions, we can help with seizure syndromes, of course. The signals are better. You know, there's an improvement in the interchange between the brain and the rest of the system. You're also going to be able to help with addiction syndromes. People go to pot, they go to alcohol, they go to opiates because they get that, like you said, that little lift temporarily. But if the brain's working in perfect function, who needs it?
Yeah, you know, I have to tell you that anecdotally, I have a patient who's just turned 80 or 82, but she's a very, very vibrant 80-something. She runs her own company. She's very active and energetic, but she's always complained of insomnia. And I managed to you know, really help her in a lot of ways, but I never could have an impact on her insomnia. And she came to see me the other day, and I said, "How's the insomnia?" And she smiled. You know, my granddaughter said, you know, "Aunt, whatever, why don't you try some CBD oil?" And she's kind of with it, so she said, "Okay," because like many octogenarians would say, "I don't want to get into that." She was open-minded. She tried it, and she said it worked remarkably. She had a lifetime history of insomnia. But, and I said, "Well, does it leave you groggy?" Because we don't want that either. I mean, you're 80-something. You don't want to be wobbly on your legs the next morning. And she said, "No." She wakes up refreshed and with clarity. There's no aftermath. It's really made a huge difference for her.
Yes, and that's that improved signaling of how the neurons interact with each other. And one of the big benefits of the cannabinoids, we'll say CBD for now, but it's more complicated than that, is that they also may induce new brain cell formation. There's some good work showing that not only does it help with repairing, and a lot of your insomnia people have, you know, real issues in the neurological chemistry, repairing damaged tissue, regenerating, but also new neurons. That is published now for the cannabinoids. So, and I've had tremendous success with insomnia. I'm actually using the other material, which is a hempenol. It's a combination of supercritical hemp extract with supercritical wild oregano. Fantastic for insomnia. You don't even have to take it during the day. During the night. You just take it and take it, and then all of a sudden you start sleeping. You get hit the sack and you sleep.
And without a sedating or stoner effect, right? You know, you don't feel people are disoriented or have problems operating machinery or driving or any danger of that.
They won't with that. See, there's a difference. Actually, it's very interesting. There's a big difference with what's on the market. We're talking about whatever we could take that would optimally improve the signaling in the brain, who couldn't use it, and in the spinal cord, and how those organs interact with the rest of the body. We can all use it, but we don't want to be recommending something, like you say, that could make a taxi driver fall asleep or a heavy machinery guy, whatever. So sometimes CBD is manipulated with solvents and also with high heat. In fact, almost all of it is heat extracted and solvent extracted. That concentrates artificially the amount of CBD or cannabidiol.
Yep.
I found that, here's what happened with me. I took some CBD oil. I was all excited because I'm starting the book. And I couldn't get out of my chair.
Wow. Okay.
It just made me feel like a piece of lead.
You know, that's interesting. I've seen that. I've seen that happen to some people who take the really pure CBD oil. That, and it's a paradoxical effect because some people get that, the sleep, supporting effect, and other people get kind of hammered, you know, by that. So it's interesting.
Yeah, you've seen that. So I contacted the companies and they said, well, this is what we do. Because I said, well, how do you, we bring it to 250 degrees. I'm going, sounds like we're going to smoke it artificially.
Yeah.
Then we add ethyl alcohol. And then sometimes we will increase the amount of CBD with acetone and hexane. I'm going, you know.
Those are not happy substances.
So when you are, yes, when you are, first of all, when you heat it, you turn it into a THC-like decarboxylated molecule.
Yeah.
So I said, wait a minute. Said, when I was sedated from it, I said, give me a bottle of super strength oregano oil. I'm sitting in my chair. I can't get up. I'm in the airport. I squirt 20 drops and I pop up, you know. I pop, you know how aggressive the oregano is. I pop up. So that got a little bit of a light bulb. So I told the people at North American Urban Spice, I said, you know, I'm going to arrange it. I'll contact Europe. So I contacted Europe and I said, would you send this, these people about whatever they want in kilos, but don't heat it. Just do the supercritical extract of the organic hemp. Do not heat it. Don't use the ethyl. Well, we've never done that before. So they get this stuff, this green muck from them. No heat. Supercritical, pure. They add the wild oregano, supercritical wild oregano, and that stuff, that doesn't, it doesn't sedate you. But on the other hand, you end up sleeping better. So it's feeding the system, but without the, you know.
So, you know, it occurs to me, and, you know, we've talked to other experts on CBD, that this is an area with tremendous potential, and there's a lot of research, but it's kind of a free fire zone because there are advocates like you who say, yeah, use the, you know, raw hemp oil, and there are other people who say, let's really super refine the CBD, get it really pure, take out all the other adulterants, because we want to do medical experiments with CBD and we don't want other interfering, substances. So your take on it is more, let's use these substances as nature provides them in a more whole form, correct?
Yeah. I wrote the book and now I'm doing quite a bit of radio and, you know, it's like you. I don't want to recommend something on this platform that somebody could have an untoward reaction to. I appreciate the CBD thing, but I'm very familiar with the processing, the adulteration, the use of acetone, hexane, the use of even butane lighter fluid, and private people making it from marijuana and using salt. So I'm not recommending CBD oil from this platform. I like it, what it's doing for some people. I'd much say to you, if you're listening to this and you want to do it, you're not going to get any reactions. not going to if you take the supercritical raw extract. Then whatever I talk about, no problem. You should do real well with it, even if you're operating the most refined task possible.
Mm-hmm.
For example, myself, by taking this hempanol, it improves my intellectual game. I wrote and published 2 technical books in 90 days, which is I've never done that before. It takes me 6 months to do a book.
Mm-hmm.
But I attribute it to how this improves the fine task of editing, where I can read and read and read and edit the book, write the book. I've never written so freely, but since I've been on this.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been hearing from people taking this kind of raw extract. And I'll tell you why raw is so important in this case. And they're finding it lifts their mood. They don't get a drop. They get a lift. And they're more productive now. They can get more done.
How do you take it? Is this an oil or is it a tincture? Or, you know, you have in the past dealt with essential oils like oregano oil. You've been one of the foremost proponents of oregano for many years.
Here's what I do. I just squirted it under my tongue. I like it that way. It's got a pleasant taste. I squirt it under the tongue.
It's a tincture or an oil? Is it a tincture or an essential oil?
It's crude oil.
Okay.
So you've got supercritical hemp stock oil, which is expensive because, you know, they only get so much. There's not a lot of supercritical oil coming out of those stocks. With supercritical wild oregano and an extra virgin olive oil base, so there's no alcohol, there's no, you know, it's not a tincture so much. So then, and also they have it as gel caps, so there's hempanol under the tongue, super strength, regular strength, or gel caps. Now, I also love it topically, which you're going to find with your patients or yourselves, a lot of benefit. It's very, the cannabinoids are transdermal. Plus, when you deal with the unheated type, like this is, no heat applied, no solvents, you get a lot of terpenes in the extract. What they do in Europe for the CBD industry is they press it under heat with a press to push out the sterols, push out the heavy oils. But by doing that, they destroy the terpenes. And the terpenes are an important part of hemp. You're talking beta-carophyllin, which is huge. You're talking limonene. You're talking pinene. They're very transdermal. So I had a woman with a sudden onset stiff neck, excruciating pain, Fatman syndrome. We rub this material on the neck. It wipes out the pain. I had a lady with a migraine headache.
Yep. By the way, there's some good research on there's some good research on CBD and chronic migraine, among other conditions. That's one of the more promising areas for CBD.
You're right. It's been used historically for migraine since ancient times. I found it obliterates migraine headaches. Drop it under the tongue, put it on the temples, hold it there, put it on the occipital. It's an occipital headache. You're going to find this clinically to be invaluable.
So that could also be for tension headaches, people who have musculoskeletal tension headaches, which are not classic migraines. Maybe apply a little bit to the... apply it to the temple or to the forehead.
It's so transdermal. Yeah, and the nerve tissue picks it up, and so it immediately starts working on those, you know, internal mechanisms of the nerves.
So, you know, the question that I would have to pose, and it's an important question, is, you know, what's the legality of this stuff? Because there's been a lot of controversy. Can you sell hemp, you know, back and forth? And, you know, is this what you're proposing through, it's what's called North American Herbal?
North American Herb and Spice makes the hempanol.
Right.
So that question, technically, you know that DEA has some laws on the books, but you see the states reversing those laws, like Pennsylvania. No. People can take hemp extract.
Right.
Not smoke, but can take.
Right.
So it's kind of a, how do you really call this? Is it legal? Is it not legal? It's an in-between thing.
Yeah.
But with the hempanol, if you look at this, it's beta-carophyllin rich hemp extract. There's no THC in here, of course. And this is a crude supercritical extract. It comes through U.S. Customs. They allow it through completely. They don't even blink. I mean, I would think it's theoretically very legal at that point.
Yeah, sure.
And plus, it's a combination. It's a combination of supercritical hemp with supercritical oregano, and they're they're pushing the beta-carotene terpene model of
right.
hemp rather than the cannabinoid.
Right.
They don't add any cannabinoids to it.
So in other words, it's not like a Trojan horse for getting CBD oil. It's sort of like, yeah, this is hemp oil, take it or leave it. Maybe it's got some CBD in it, but that's not the emphasis on this product, and hence it makes it a little bit more easy to sell on a retail basis. Is it sold in health food stores, or is this something that you order directly from the manufacturer?
Yes, it is sold in health food stores. That's another thing, the legitimacy here of being a health food store product. For example, Queen's Health Foods and Emporium, I know they, Forces of Nature, they're big fans. They've been using it on their clients. There's a place in northern New Jersey, Summit Health Foods, and another place in St. Albans called Vital Health. I've talked to some of these people, you know, just survey it a little. They're having great results with people with nervous system disorders.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking anxiety, we're talking depression, we're talking schizophrenia, obsessive compulsive, can't handle stress syndrome, burnout, people are coming back to them, and also people who say they're in this mental loop, they can't get out of that loop, which I believe is a deficiency of endocannabinoids, and they're benefiting with that, and tremor. I have some clinical cases of tremor that are pretty impressive, tremor epilepsy, which is, you know, you see the research on that, is, you know, if we quoted one study, which was Davinsky's work out of the American Epileptic Society, they had, just with regular CBD, you know, the drug form, basically, they got 50% reduction in seizure incidence, which is huge for just one substance. Imagine when you take a crude extract that has 65 cannabinoids and all the terpenes. One of the benefits of a raw extract versus cooked, it's the malleability of the terpenes and the cannabinoids. They're so malleable in the raw state, they go into the blood-brain barrier right now. That's a huge benefit.
Well, you certainly set the stage for a very provocative discussion of the benefits of hemp oil extracts. Our listeners know we divide these podcasts into two parts, so we need to pause at this point. But when we come back, I have lots more questions for you. We're talking today to Dr. Cass Ingram. He is a nutritional physician who has literally done thousands of interviews, over 20 books on natural healing. He's focused in the past on essential oils, and he's added yet another essential oil to his armamentarium, which is hemp oil. And he's written a book entitled The Cannabis Cure, and when we return, we'll tell you how you can access that book. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.